Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
It is the evening of Thursday, July 9th. You are all at the Wentworth Club, one of the many social clubs in London in 1925. The membership is made up from a wide diversity of the London landscape, including women, which is makes them somewhat unique in the landscape of social clubs of this sort. As of late, they have, and by late I mean in the last few years, they have taken on, their membership has taken on a keen interest in matters of the occult and esoteric matters and folklore, and it's one of the things they were looking for in new membership. But you also know that at this time in London, many people are interested in these sort of topics, whether or not they have the money to be a member of a club like this. And so, and at one point, you were aware that they got very interested in the matters of the military. They got very interested in science through the years. It's a, this is not a passing fancy, but this is, their latest keen interest of their membership. And they have about 100 members, including the 8 of you. You are here this night for a somber affair. Lord Brightman, a member of long standing of the Wentworth Club, has passed away. This is a memorial gathering, not his funeral, but it is one of those events that all nearly 100 members show up for. And you are all in the ground floor where there are numerous lounges to socialize. It initially starts off somewhat somber, but as the wine begins to flow freely, people begin to tell stories of Lord Brightman, who none of you ever met. He was sort of a looming figure at events, but none of you ever met him personally, other than maybe a passing handshake type thing. But he apparently cast a big shadow over the organization. I will say, for those of you who are playing women, ladies, the club has made certain arrangements in that on the ground floor there are 3 reception areas, but there's one reception area called the ladies' room. And only the women member of the club are allowed to enter there. That doesn't mean you need to be in that room. That's not required that you're there. You're full members of the club. You can go anywhere other members of the club can go, but you are not excluded from using that room exclusively if you wish to. Is there any socializing you wish to do before you get down to the main event? This is obviously a little pre-dinner reception going on right here.
So we all presumably know each other.
You do. You are all part of the same membership. I don't want to say class in the sense of it's not you start in the certain time and you ended it, but your membership applications were all accepted at around the same time. You all saw each other in the lounge waiting for your individual interviews. When they did orientation events, the 8 of you were part of the same group. You were all invited. So you all know each other well. You're all relatively new members of the Wentworth, a couple of months. So you really haven't had that much time to meet the full membership, but you certainly know each other.
Okay. Can you fill in a point of detail for me in case I missed it somewhere along the way? The non-members, mm-hmm. who are members. What's the status there? What's the
Yes. So it's not a, it's and this came up during your orientation as well. They went to great lengths to make sure you knew that this was not a secret society, that they did not deal in occult manner matters specifically. There was no learning of spells. There was no. They were clearly trying to make sure you didn't think you were joining, you know, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And so it's not a secret organization. Members are allowed full privileges and, you know, but it's also, if you are with a member, if you are a member's plus one, you can go where that member goes. Now, what you all know is that, you know, the ground floor, and the first floor are fully open. The second floor, members are allowed to sort of go up, to use the WC. But then after that, there are bedrooms up there, and there's a couple of lounges that are reserved for more senior members. You as members could be up there, but if a non-member was seen up there non-accompanied, it would be viewed as trespassing. If you're a non-member, and I don't know who's a non-member, but if you're a non-member, you want to make sure that you're staying close to the person who invited you.
I will be with Oswald.
Excellent.
If you'll have me.
Of course.
Oswald, are you a member?
Yes, yes. I'm putting the asterisk.
All right.
Oh, I thought he was not a member. Okay.
Oh, no, as far as I know, you, Heathcliff, Gary, are you a member or not?
We're all members other than perhaps Heathcliff, who is the silent type.
So strong, military.
Probably the sleepy type.
Sleepy type, yeah.
Or the muted type.
He's sitting in the corner on one of those leather chairs with a brandy in his hand and just sort of nodded off.
Bore as hell.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, sorry. Now we can.
Really, I promise.
No, Heathcliff is a member.
Oh, excellent.
All right, okay. So you're all members, so you're all part of the same club. But going forward, what I would say, Jim, is if there's somebody you meet and you're like, you know, I'd really like you to meet the others, and a convenient place to meet them would be the club, you could certainly invite them into the club.
Okay. So backup characters who end up being non-members are just plus ones, and they can come in. Okay.
Oh, no, there's a whole section on backup characters, can be members of the club, can be non-members you've met. Oh, don't worry. We've got that covered here. There's a nice large paragraph on what to do if. Perfect. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, should we all do introductions?
No, not quite yet.
No, okay, then.
You all know each other, but perhaps you'll meet somebody you will need to introduce yourself to. So
I understand.
Excellent. And at some point, there's a clinking of glasses in the hallway outside of all of the lounges, the reception areas where people are drinking. Small podium is brought up, and a large man sort of waddles his way onto the podium. You know him. He is Gregory Bluffstone. He is almost bald, has a very large mustache. He is the club president and head of the board, and also is the chair of the membership committee. So you have all met him in the past. He gets up and says, ladies and gentlemen and honored guests, I welcome you to the Wentworth Club. I'm afraid this welcome comes at the blackest of times. Our friend and colleague, Lord Brightman, is no more, taken from us by wicked faith in the most heinous of crimes. It is with heavy heart that tonight's proceedings are held in his honor. We come to pay our respects and remember him. I personally have known Lord Brightman for a number of years and was one among many who greatly enjoyed listening to his tales of adventure brought back from his many travels and archaeological digs. I remember one night he terrified me with a tale of his exploits while in Nineveh. Theodore, you remember that night? And he sort of is pointing at a man who looks to be in his 50s, receding brown hair, and very nice suit on. And he kind of blushes a little bit. He does not appear to be wanting to be the center of attention here, and sort of nods a little agreement. Well, given the company, I will not share the tale here, but suffice to say that Lord Brightman was taken from us too early, and we mourn his passing. Let tonight's dinner stand in memorial to him. Let us of the Wentworth Club honor our dead. I give you Lord Howard Brightman. And there's a
cheers.
Blazing of glasses. Yes, yes, everyone is cheering out in a hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray.
Huzzah.
And at this point, Joseph Sykes, who you all know as the long-standing butler of the club, a tall man with thick white hair and lined features, says, dinner is served in the dining room. You are all sort of hustled your way upstairs.
So as we are going in, I will ask, unless we already know this, the announcement was Lord Brightman has been taken from us by some wicked crime. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will turn to Mr. Nichols. Oh, Mr. Nichols, do you happen to know, was he murdered? Or do we know that?
You know that there was a crime. But not the details of what happened, how it happened, is not clear.
Okay, so yeah, so I think following on the conversation that we had but did not mention before of, oh, do you know Lord Brightman? No, never met him. We can now have the conversation of, do you know what happened to Lord Brightman? No idea.
No idea.
Since apparently that's where we're all at the moment.
Something untoward.
Something untoward, yes. Oh, very interesting. I wonder if he was poisoned.
Poisoned? Really? Is that what you heard?
Oh, no. I'm just thinking about poisons a lot recently.
anybody who's part of that conversation can give me a spot hidden roll.
Nope.
Okay. Excellent start. A billion players, and none of them will succeed.
Continue.
eventually you are brought... What's that?
I made it.
So were you in the chatting with them as they were going up the stairs?
Yeah.
There is a man sort of walking. You're all sort of making your way up the stairs. There's a man sort of walking next to you. He looks he's thin. He's got his suit doesn't look quite right. His glasses are a little bit off, and he says, "Oh no, Lord Brightman. He was murdered. He was killed in his own home. His neck was slit. Oh. He's." Others are starting to pay attention, and never mind. And he sort of seems a little embarrassed and sort of pushes past you all.
Murdered?
A man's crime.
Wow.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, no, he sort of said it, and then the other members sort of...
Oh, I think he's talking to me, like, right?
Oh, sorry.
I could be
Please
wrong.
Carry on.
Well, I mean... It's very rare for a woman to slit somebody's neck.
Well, I think you'll find in this day and age women are more than capable of all manner of things.
I didn't say they weren't capable of it. I said they're very unlikely to do it. That's a very different point.
Yes, you're right, Agatha. Poison is much easier. Less messy.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Many atrocities committed by women. Probably go inside.
That gets a raised eyebrow from Kitty.
Excellent.
You make your way up into the large dining room. It's not often they have sort of events like this in this room. Certainly for when you all were becoming members, there was a general hoorah. If it happened a bit around during a holiday, perhaps. There's a seating chart, and as you would expect, you are all at the same table.
Oh, wonderful. We're all at the same table.
Yes. Lovely coincidence. And at some point, a gentleman...
So much for splitting the party.
Give me time. Give me time, young man. A man walks up and says, I'm sorry, I wasn't sure I was coming. Would you mind if I take a seat at your table? It doesn't seem to be any others left.
Only if we can introduce ourselves to you, please.
And indeed, the person who's sitting down next to you was identified by Bluffstone, the head there, as Theodore.
Ah, excellent, Theodore.
He introduces himself. I'm Theodore Rayborn Price, and who do I have the pleasure of dining with?
Go. Yeah. Good evening, Mr. Price. I'm Dame Agatha. It's very, very nice to meet you. I suppose really I should be presented, but I'm going to break with tradition and just introduce myself. I hope you don't mind.
Quite right.
Oh, no. We're very open in this club. It's fine, of course.
You knew Lord Reitman, apparently. I'm afraid none of us do, or did.
Oh, well, you missed out on meeting a really wonderful man. Wonderful man.
Do look forward to hearing about him.
Yes, yes. And you, and he will turn to her, feel like talking next.
Miss Kitty Hall. Pleasure to meet you.
And what brings you to the club? What are your interests?
Well, mainly that it's one of the more enlightened clubs in this city.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, the work of Artemis Crankshaw. She worked tirelessly on Bluffstone to get him to agree to let in women. I think it was a wonderful choice.
I agree. I think so as well. Hopefully many more will take the same course of action.
Indeed. And you?
Who knows? We might take over the club altogether. Maud Throckmorton.
I raise my glass to Maud.
It is such a pleasure.
Indeed. What drew you to the club? Do you have similar aspirations as your friend here?
Oh, you know, I've been around the world. My parents were missionaries in Africa, and just seeing the world, and then poor Felix came back to do his duty and died in France, and here I am, looking for people with similar tastes.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear about that. Thank you for your service. And you?
Mr. Oswald Nichols. Nice to meet you.
Indeed. And your interests here?
Somewhat of a traveler. I wouldn't say adventurer, but maybe adventurer adjacent.
Ah, yes. Similar to Brightman. He wouldn't have described himself as an adventurer, but he found himself in all sorts of situations. Yes, and you?
I'm Captain Heathcliff Hamilton.
Ah, pleasure to make your acquaintance. Yes, yes. And what brings you here?
I have part of His Majesty's Army. His Majesty's Army. I have travelled extensively and seen some strange things, and so I have quite a I have developed an interest for the unusual.
Interesting, interesting. And I'm sorry, you are?
Hi, my name is Montgomery Ellsworth. I just landed a job at the local library. Yeah, joined the club because that's what all the interesting people is, if you can see. People are, as you can see around the table.
Indeed.
A pleasure to meet you.
Oh, my pleasure's all mine. And you?
Eh? What? My character's a gentleman in his 50s as well, with graying hair and beard, kind of looks startled being spoken to. as Connor Shaw at your service. Yes, I'm an archival preservationist at the museum nearby, and some of my interests here lately have run in the same direction as some of those in the club. Nice to meet you.
Oh, very nice to meet you. And you, sir?
Excuse me. Mr. Helmsworth, if you could just move over a bit. Thank you. Sorry, I need a little bit more room than perhaps most of you do. Roger Schindler of the Munich Schindlers. I do apologize, Mr. Helmsworth, if you could scoot over just a bit more. Thank you.
Yes. And your interest in the club?
Well, the food, of course, and the women are somewhat engaging on occasion, but mostly just a good place to sit down.
And as you are saying that, food starts to be brought out, and you're all well aware that the club, whatever faults it may have in certain areas, it does not. It's cooked is not one of them. You know, you are in for a scrumptious dinner of numerous courses. You know, starting off with some vegetables and some cheeses, and you all smell the hogsheads and out there, been cooking all day. It sort of permeates no matter where you are in the building. Yes, well, I appreciate you all allowing me to join your party. It's nice to meet some of the new members. I have to admit I've been a little stuck in my books lately, so it's good to get out and talk with people.
What can you tell us? You promised great stories of Lord Brightman. And we are here to remember him. It would be wonderful to hear about him.
Oh, I've known him for maybe 10 years now. He was a keen historian. He's always off on one dig or another. He always was so kind to bring me back some relic or another from a dig. He was never quite the same after that one in Iraq, but you could still see the Brightman I knew from days of yore pop out every now and then in conversation.
Iraq, was that the story that was being hinted at?
Well, it was. He was part of the expedition there, part of the dig with going to Navarre. He told us, he brought us over to his house one night to see the things he had brought back from there, and they were the normal things you'd expect, tablets and such. As you all probably know, the libraries, the libraries associated with that that city were immense due to the efforts of the last real king to assemble all of the writing in the world. It's where we get some of our great literature today. But He was showing us this and that, little pottery things. The normal things anybody goes on these digs takes back with them. Not everything makes it to a museum. But, and then the evening got on and he got more into his cups. He went into his study and brought out a box. It was a... opened it up, and inside was this statuette of the god Nabu, the god of writing, carved by some long-dead Assyrian who most certainly must have been insane. As you probably know, the normal figure of the god is a horned hat and hands in a prayer formation. This was not it. It was wrong somehow. I can't even really put my hands on my words. Gomez that he had came into his possession. One night at the dig, he was couldn't sleep and was walking around when he chanced upon one of the locals in the act of stealing that very statuette. Yes, well, Brightman was... not the sort of man to allow a theft to go unnoticed. So he...
Somebody's stealing back what he was stealing from them. Huh, yes, I'm glad he caught on to that.
Yes, well, there's obviously some irony to that. I agree with you, good man. But...
Or lady.
Lady. Huh? Oh, I said ma'am, but I...
Oh, ma'am. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
but I did catch it at the very end, so I started the meh and then, yes. And like, the brain went, what's another female thing that starts with meh?
It's fine. Theodore's had a few drinks already. And
yes, he's not used to women in the club quite yet. Anyway, an altercation began. It was looked like it was going to be fisticuffs, but then the local pulled out this knife. Yes, well, Brightman, quite rightfully feeling for his very life, drew out his pistol and shot the thief dead. But as he lay dying, the thief grabbed Brightman's hands and he thrust the statuette into it, saying, take it, and may the curse of Nabu make you sleep no more. Now, Brightman had seen many things in his time. He was not a man to be easily shaken, but when he told us this tale, his eyes were filled with a horror I have not seen in there before, and you could feel the very joy of life diminishing within him.
Oh.
And,
terrible.
Yes, yes. Well, sorry to be on such a somber note of such an extraordinary presence in the world.
Well, and did I hear that he was murdered in his home? Do you think it was a theft?
Oh, I don't know what to think. I do know that he was murdered. The police have hid the details, but I'm close enough with him that I was able to find out. Brightman's throat was slit from ear to ear.
Oh.
It may have been a theft involved too, but there was something darker behind the attack.
Sounds ritualistic, even.
Very much so. Very much so.
What have the police determined?
Oh, I don't think they've determined anything. They've, as far as I know, they've looked into it and tried to get some information, but all they know is that he was, you know, killed on the night of sometime on July 4th. He was found in the morning by his manservant, and
many, many months ago. June. What was the date again? Sorry, we're July 9th. Okay,
we're July 9th. He was killed on July
5th. 5 days ago.
July 5th. Okay.
Was there no sign of a break-in?
What? I have to profess, I don't know where the police are at with the investigation. I just heard from just heard sort of what had happened. I didn't go into it, but all I know is what I've seen in the papers.
Well, his estate, ghastly business. All these, this cursed statue. Will it come to the club, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what his bequests were. I do know that Brightman's butler, Collins, is handling up the packing of all the goods. Good man, Collins. Definitely a man to be relied upon. I'm sure that he finds this one last service to his employer to be, you know, something he's giving all of his attention to.
Oh, but of course.
Do you believe in curses, Agatha?
I think the idea of a curse can make a wonderful motivation, but I'm not sure I believe in them in a real sense. Why?
It just sounds like something out of a book, doesn't it?
I was just thinking that it might be something I could put into a book, yes.
Is that why you're looking into poisons, dear?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I learned about them during the war when I was nursing, but it's quite a wide-ranging topic. I had no idea before. Can take one around the entire world learning about poisons.
I say, Theodore,
You are not going to maintain that through this campaign. I'm sorry, my friend.
No, I lost track of his name. Does Reitman's mind, does he have anyone assisting him with cataloging these effects?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if they've read the will yet. It's complicated. His Brightman's wife and son died last year in a coaching accident.
I have little care for where they go, but I am much more interested in keeping track of them. Perhaps I'll contact them.
Oh, yes, I imagine having someone. I assume you are knowledgeable in these matters?
Yes, I'm a preservational archivist. Job and my duty, the duty of all of us, to not lose the history that has come before us so that we may learn from it for the future.
Would you say these things belong in a museum?
Quite right. At the very least, we should know where these historic facts, these historic artifacts, pieces of history are.
Well, I imagine that Collins is putting together lists and such, but perhaps he could use outside assistance. I don't know. It depends on how much Brightman kept good records about his things.
Clearly, he needs some help. Thank you, Shaw, for pointing this out to me.
My pleasure. We're all part of the same club now. All here to help each other. So dinner will go on. You could certainly ask more questions if you wish.
When was the this trip to Iraq?
Well, trip to Iraq was 1905. Yes, he went.
Okay. Oh, did any club members accompany him?
Wait, 1905?
Good, I didn't have to make you do an idea roll. Yeah, that does strike you as strange.
Well, only because he's known him for 10 years, and he was there when he returned from the trip. That's why it strikes me as a little strange.
Excellent. No, I'm unaware of any club members who also went on the trip.
1905. I'm sorry. So we know this trip. So we ask him, and he says 1905. When was the dinner party then that... where he introduced this this statue?
Oh, a few, 2-3 years ago.
Oh, interesting. So he'd been holding on to this for decades before he told anyone about it.
He pauses and he says, "That's certainly the impression he gave me, but as you say it, it doesn't quite make sense, does it?" Well, unusual.
And you were... It seemed I'll assume he's a lord also, Buffstone was speaking, and he sort of mentioned you. That was Buffstone at the dinner with you, or...
Yes, we were both there that night.
Okay.
Yes.
He was not implying that you were in Iraq as well.
Oh, no, I've not. I did briefly think about becoming an archaeologist. But it turns out the heat of the foreign climates don't really work for my constitution, so I had to accept a less adventuresome life here in London.
Of course.
Generally.
Always a shame to have to limit oneself.
Well, I keep busy. I do assist in historic research, and I have the luxury, due to my inheritance, that I can put my time to what I find interesting.
Yes.
So, can I clarify real quick? What's his name? Bluffstone said that Theodore, he didn't say that he was with him. He said that he was there the night he told the story, right? Right?
Yes. Correct. And that's the story that you just heard.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that what lies or whatever, figuring stuff out. Thanks.
Yep.
Well, it does seem interesting to learn about. Is there a... Did he publish a book or an article or anything about his trip to Nineveh?
Oh, not that I'm aware of. No. I mean, there are books out there on the topic.
But not by him or his particular trip. He didn't make a record of it.
I think he was there to be one of those people that can pay their own way to go on these sort of travels. I feel like they're part of the excitement without necessarily being the leader like King and Thompson were.
King and Thompson were the leaders of this trip in 1905.
Yes.
Oh. Were they club members?
No. King is dead, actually. He passed away. And 4 or 5 years ago? He died in his hotel room. But Reginald's out and about in the world still, promoting himself and sometimes his work.
Well, perhaps they wrote something up about this. That's interesting.
I think I would dearly love to see this statue. It sounds intriguing. There's always something
indescribable, apparently. Yes.
Right. And when something is off from the norm, I mean, why? How?
At this point, Sykes, the butler, walks up to Rayburn Price and whispers something into his ears. He looks a little startled, and he says, I'm dreadfully sorry. I need to take my leave of you all. It's been a very pleasant time meeting you all. Yes. Well,
thank you for joining us. It was very nice to learn about Lord Brightman. We shall remember him better now.
and he scutters off after Sykes.
Oh, very strange.
I wonder what that was all about.
Yes.
Well, curses and statues, it's all rather exciting. Reminds me of that. Oh, there was that fuss, wasn't there, a few years ago with, what was his name? Carter.
Yes. Well. Yes, I wonder what we will learn further of this. It's, seems like the beginning of a good story, but hard to see where it will go next. I guess we need to figure out who the murderer was and what and why. If not robbery, it must be something else interesting. Perhaps revenge.
Ooh.
Oh. Way.
I wonder if we...
So the dinner, ends again. It's a fantastic meal. Enough food is brought out so that even Mr. Schindler feels like he might have gotten, close to enough. I'll let you opine on whether or not it was enough.
Mr. Shaw, if you could just move over, I do. It's the gout, you understand? I mean, are you going to finish that?
I don't believe I've ever seen a character with a dex of 30 before, so that's fantastic.
Oh, you should see how low his strength and constitution are.
Oh, brilliant.
Are you going to finish that, sir? I should very much don't want to go to waste.
50, yeah. Okay. Not even that. Where are your points?
low dice rolling?
They're all in size, apparently.
So there is more milling around to be done in the lounge and whatnot. People have been eating and drinking and therefore are much more sort of chatty, and occasionally people will wander up to you and ask how you're enjoying the club and that sort of thing. Any questions you'd like to ask the general membership? We could go into that.
I'd like to have a word with the butler, Mr. Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
As he's standing aside, sort of overseeing things. Sykes there. How do you do?
Oh, yes, Mr. Shaw, how may I help you?
Fine affair, as always. Jolly good job. Listen.
Thank you.
I know that you're a top-notch man and well acquainted with all the members of the clubs and all the comings and goings. Were you perhaps familiar with Brighton himself, Brightman?
Yes, I knew Lord Brightman.
And how about his man, Collins?
I've not had the occasion to meet Collins. I spoke with him on the phone when communications needed to happen between the club and Lord Brightman.
You don't say. And what was your impression of the man's character? Was he a bit shady to you? Was he steadfast? Was he... what sort of man was he?
Give me a persuade or credit rating roll.
Persuade or credit rating. Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter. That's a 98.
Perfect. I only spoke with him on the phone. I couldn't possibly draw inferences about his character from a conversation on the phone, sir. I'm sorry. I'm getting beckoned by one of the members over there. Oh, good evening, sir. You can give a spot in if you want, but you are quite sure there is no members beckoning him.
Yeah. Yes, well, perhaps I'll, yes, have a drink.
I will go to the library here and just wander about to see if, in fact, either Brightman has written anything at all that the club has, or if King and or Thompson have written anything of interest.
Sure. Why don't you give me a library use roll?
I could go with her to provide support.
That is an extreme success on library use.
Excellent. Brightman has not written any works. You are able to, there is no book here from, written by, King or Thompson, but with that role, you do get a little bit of information about each one of them, which I will place in the notes. This is from the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1922. First one.
King Leonard William, 1860 to 1919. English archaeologist, was born in London, December 8, 1869. Educated at Rugby and King's College, Cambridge. He obtained an appointment in the Egyptian and Assyrian Department of the British Museum and conducted the museum's excavations on the site of Nineveh. He also traveled widely in the Near East and collected rock inscriptions in Assyria, Persia, and Kurdistan. He was for some years professor of Assyrian and Babylonian archaeology at King's College, London, and published a large number of works on these subjects, including Babylonian magic and sorcery, cuneiform texts in the British Museum, Babylonian religion and mythology, and many others. He died in London, August 20, 1919. That's a very subtle differentiation between the commas and the periods in this particular text.
Yes, well.
So apologies for all the full stops that were not meant to be. And 1924, who's who? Reginald Campbell Thompson, 21 August 1876, British archaeologist, Assyriologist, and cuneiformist. Born in Kensington and educated at Colet Court, St. Paul's School, and Caius College, Cambridge, where he read Oriental, Hebrew, and Aramaic languages. Played a lead role in the expedition to Nineveh in 03 with Leonard King. After the Great War, he held a fellowship at Merton College in Oxford. In 1918, Mesopotamia fell into British hands, just sort of by accident, and the trustees of the British Museum applied to have an archaeologist attached to the army in the field to protect antiquities from injury. As a captain in the intelligence service serving in the region and a former assistant in the British Museum, Campbell Thompson was commissioned to start the work. After a short investigation of Ur, he dug at Sharain and the mounds of Tel Alam. Well, there you have it, folks. So, a spy and archaeologist. Happening in the intelligence service. Yeah, it's interesting that that's not part of his... that his military career did not make his sort of main caption there. King, we think, does not have any military connection.
We do not. We think he is a standard archaeologist. At this point, all of you, if you're together, you know, Dame Agatha and... Montgomery Helmsworth, one of the bus boys, comes and says, I have messages for you. You're handed a piece of paper. Everybody else also has a bus boy hand them a piece of paper. The piece of paper say, please join me in the second floor lounge.
Of course they do. And signed by?
Signed by Rayburn Price.
All right.
He's back so soon.
Very good.
None of you have been to the third floor yet. You're aware there's a third floor, but the second floor. Second floor. You're aware of it. The men folk may have gone up to the WC there, but certainly the lounge is in there. And as you are arriving at the top of the stairs, top of the building.
Maybe we should wait for Mr. Schindler. He was stuck at the bottom last I saw.
Yes, please. go on ahead. I shall make it in my own.
There are lounges on the first floor right outside the dining room. It seems more likely he would have sort of oozed his way over there than made his way down to the ground floor.
Oozed. He's just taking a break at the landings.
Every other stair, actually, sir. It's the gout, you understand. It makes it difficult. Ouch. To move around at times.
Can't affect the knees, so.
Yeah. Sean, what are the bedrooms upstairs? I guess, do we know who lives here? Is it like the staff, or would it be?
No, so you know the staff live in the cellar. The bedrooms on the third floor are essentially there for if a club member needs a place to stay because their house is being renovated, or perhaps they drink more than they should. The club does have hours. They do sort of lock the door at 11 p.m., but if you're inside and you've been drinking a lot and you sort of feel like maybe this isn't the right time for you to just sort of go home by yourself, then the staff has arranged for rooms there. They're less bedrooms than they are sort of sleep it off rooms.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah. But you don't know who might be there for whatever reason. Certainly there's right. Also the cases of somebody finds it useful to not be in their house for a period of time due to perhaps less than marital bliss. There's sort of an understanding that you don't go in that area because people in there want their well, I guess privacy.
Right.
I won't
be bursting in on anyone, but
yes, yeah. No. You're all led to the first lounge at the top of the stairs. There's a single table lamp illuminating the room. There are a number of chairs there, including one that is occupied by what appears to be a woman in her mid-20s. And Rayburn Price is standing by the door. Thank you for coming. And waits patiently for all of you to arrive at the door. Yes, he's moving. Yes, he's going. Oh, he has to stop for a bit. All right. Mr. Schindler, thank you.
I do apologize for the delay.
No.
Sarah.
There is an extra wide chair there that's clearly reserved.
Yes, thank you. I shall take that. Mr. Nichols, if you could just move, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sorry. Get over.
And as you are all inside, Rayborn Price closes the door. It is, you are aware that if a member is having a private meeting, you know, sometimes they have business meetings and whatnot, they will close the door. And the expectation is that others will not enter without at least knocking, and even then. And he will say, thank you. I'm sorry to drag you away from the hubbub, but I'm hoping that you will be able to help us. And he sort of points his hand towards the woman there. This is Nive Selikabuk. Yes, I'm afraid I need... I'll give you the name. Yeah, I'll put the name in the notes with her little picture. I have to start by an apology. I did tell you during the conversation that the dig occurred, sometime in the past. That was obviously, you found me out very quickly. That was obviously a bit of a fabrication. It is true that in 1903 through 1905 there was an expedition led by King and Thompson, but they were specifically looking for the Temple of Naboo. They believed they were able to find it, or at least signs of where it was, just at the end of their time there. Now, the Temple of Naboo would be a priceless find. It's said to be a lost repository of artifacts. All of the king's greatest literatures were kept in this one place as a sort of an offering to the god of writing. And so they ran out of money for that, so they had to return back to London. But they, in 1919, they planned to go back again. Now, just before they left, King took unwell, and he died. Now, I think very highly of his scholarship in many ways, but Thompson is not a sentimental man. And so he went ahead with the dig to go and find them. Now, Brightman was with them, and he agreed with the choice at the time. There was no point in his mind of not going ahead. They had not only the resources they needed, but also they had achieved, they'd be able to secure armed security, which is going to be important. You're probably aware of the difficult, the tensions that are between England and Iraq. They've not subsided since then, but there was talk at the time of unrest and that sort of thing, and indeed the timing worked out. Had they gone the next year in 1920, they would have been there when the Iraqi revolts took place. In any case, they went there to explore, wasn't too long before, after they got there, they began to have accidents. Remember what I told you at dinner about Brightman? In any case, when they came back, they didn't want people to know they had been there. They kept this dig a secret from the general populace. If you read any historical account of digs, you'll see that there was this one. The only one that's talked about is the earlier dig, not the 1919 dig. At this point, the woman, who had been silently sort of nodding her head, speaks up. As she talks, she's clearly American. You look at her, you have the sense that she's smart. She's definitely smartly dressed. She looks like she's the sort of person that has a tenacious hold on life. But right now, she definitely looks a little withdrawn and a little fearful about what's going on here. She says, yes. Now, I myself recently returned to London to recuperate after a difficult time in Scotland. And so I thought it would be good for me to catch up with some old friends. So I stayed with my longtime acquaintances, Bingo and her honoraria. I also met with my good friend, Archie Glossop, who works at the British Museum. Now, he was the one who put me on to that the staff at the museum were cataloging hundreds of artifacts from the dig of Nineveh. But what's strange is that the last dig on record had been in 1903, and certainly all those items had been cataloged some time ago. He began to become interested in this, curious that perhaps Thompson had actually gone back again and recovered some new artifacts. And Archie also said that there'd been a number of recent thefts from the finds, and he attributed that to the fact that there wasn't a solid place where these artifacts were being held, because nobody outside some sort of inner circle was supposed to know they even existed. Now, because we were old friends, he gave me a list of some of the objects that he believed had been stolen. And then he...
Sorry, is this the young woman who is old friends with Brightman, this 20-year-old?
Nope. She's friends with Glossop.
Okay, Glossop, who works in the museum, but that has nothing to do with... anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she and this museum guy are old friends, and the museum guy has been letting
just to be clear, she's in her mid-20s. Old friends at your mid-20s is...
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just didn't expect her to use that term with Lord Brightman.
She did not, yes.
Yeah. And so the museum guy, he's the one who was bothered by this new thing. And so they've just been gossiping. As far as we know, she has not given us any reason to believe that she has anything to do or any knowledge of antiquities or museums or anything. Is that true?
She has not said anything as of yet that makes you that she has any knowledge, but you haven't had a real conversation with her yet either. So
right. But when she introduced herself, for example, or whatever, she's just an American
who
returned to London, whatever that means, having spent time in Scotland where it was difficult.
Yes.
Probably because of people with their accents.
She said what?
All right, thank you. All clear.
Yeah, no problem. he gave me a list of objects that he believed had been stolen, and then he, and she pauses, lent me one of the new artifacts, which he had smuggled out of the museum, so I could determine where it might come from.
I see. Then you are somebody who can determine these sorts of things? You are an antiquities expert?
You need to consult an expert.
Yes, well, I have an extensive background in archaeology, yes, and I've known many people who have been involved in it all. In any case, I knew of a man named Ebenezer Albright who deals in antiquities, and so I went to his shop, he is a friend of my family's, so I confided him that there had been, that there was some concern over the items and where when they might have arrived here, and I showed him the artifact that Archie had given to me. He initially dismissed it as just being one more, but then he took a look at the mark at the base, and he turned pale and said something about Nabu and that bastard king, and he looked scared and shooed me out of his shop. This is a couple of nights ago, the 7th. I went home that night, hung out with my friends there, Bingo, and Honoria. That's people named each other back then.
Apparently. No, they're all straight out of Archie and Jeeves and Archie, Jeeves and Worcester. There we go. Trying to get all the names straight. Carry on.
Yes, thank you. Yes. I went back to the British Museum the next morning to see Archie, but the antiquity section had been cordoned off and they were swarming with police. I tried to find my way in, and eventually I spoke to Thompson himself, and he said that Archie was dead, murdered. There had been a break-in.
Another murder?
He wanted to know what connection I had to Archie and why I was at the museum. I simply said he was an old friend, and we were supposed to have lunch, and I left. Not knowing what to do, I went back to Ebenezer's shop to make him tell me what was happening here. He played dumb, and I don't know what came over me, but I had a bit of a temper. I slapped his face and I put his hands into a desk drawer and started squeezing them.
What?
What?
I know, I'm not pleased by my behavior, but a friend of mine had just passed away, had been murdered, and this man knew something but was playing dumb. Well, in any case, he said that King and Thompson had found something, and they had brought back something that should have been left behind. He mentioned a curse and started speaking the words, strange words, ancient names. I don't recall what any of them were, but I feel they were dark. And he said he must leave and to tell no one. As I turned, I don't know why, but he tried to grab me, and I grabbed a whiskey bottle on his desk, and I smashed it over his head.
What? Who was this again? Whose hands did you slam in a desk?
This is the Ebenezer Albright, the person
Albright,
I know
about. Albright, the expert that you consulted. Yes. The one who was scared. Okay. And I'm sorry, the break-in and the murder were at the museum?
Yes.
Okay, and this all just happened recently?
Yes, the murder was apparently during either the night of the 7th or morning of the 8th.
Then it was Thompson or Glossop who was killed? I'm quite confused, I'm sorry.
Glossop,
your Archie friend. Glossop. Okay, yes, very good. I'm sorry to hear that.
And now our man has been killed, and...
What's that?
Well, it seems like... Well,
and all this talk of a curse. Maybe it's true.
Yeah, it's probably just somebody who wants to steal the statue. Where is the statue now?
Yes.
Rayburn Price sort of leans in, says, well, this is actually where I need your help. Both Nivea and I are too well known to go back to the British Museum. We would really appreciate it if someone like you, who may not be as known to the British Museum staff, could look into this matter. It's, people have died, and we can't help but feel there's some connection between them. I'm going to take Neve out of town. We're going to leave from here. She says, yes, I feel like I'm being followed all the time now. I did after being at Ebenezer's shop, I did go back to the house where I was staying, but there was a man standing outside the house, clearly staring at it. I turned and I ran. I wandered around, and eventually I came here this evening. And
how horrible!
Raymond Price reaches into reaches behind him and pulls out a box. And he says, "This is the artifact that was given to Neve."
Wait, why did you bring it here?
Well, she was carrying it.
Yes, remember she was wandering us all around. Now.
Oh. Oh, let's see it.
No, don't take it out.
I thought you had left it with Albright, but he gave it back to you.
No, I had him look at it. I didn't give it to him. I wouldn't give it to him.
No, no, that would be quite irresponsible after Glossop had given it to you out of the care of the museum. I can quite see that.
So, wait. All these things you're telling us happened in the British Museum, but what happened in Scotland before you got here? You said you had trouble. Is it all tied together, do you think?
Oh, no. What happened in Scotland is not tied to any of this. It was a separate incident.
Who?
Could I perhaps roll a psychology on that? That sounds like...
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. She's a liar. That's a hard success on psychology.
That's a failure for the Scottish.
Yes, she does not seem to be lying about that.
She thinks it's a coincidence.
She believes did you say he thinks it's a coincidence?
She.
Oh, yes. She doesn't think it's related to this at all. What happened in Scotland? She doesn't seem to be interested in sharing more details on it. But she says, "Yeah, so I have this here. I recognize. I don't know. It may have been irresponsible of me, but I can't help but think that whoever killed Archie might have been looking for this or something this. I don't know what to do with it and."
Well, let's look at it. I'm very curious now.
Yes.
Yeah, this table full of experts.
see what we can make of it. She pulls out. He opens up the top of the box.
Kitty moves to the far corner of the room. Perches behind the large sofa that that Mr. Schindler's sitting on.
So what you see is a statuette. It's about 20 centimeters, 8 inches high, and it's pure gold.
Wow.
If you look in the notes, you'll be able to see. It looks to be a bearded king, and the king looks a lot... Those of you who know anything about archaeology can give me a roll on the bearded king, but it appears to be a bearded king sort of emerging out of a... second prostate humanoid figure.
History work as well?
Glad prostate humanoid figure.
Not history, archaeology.
Well? Archaeology only. How about anthropology?
No.
What?
No.
Archaeology only.
You know, if you want, you can give me an intelligence roll.
The intelligence role would tell you not to take it out of the box and look at it.
Well, only if you believe in curses.
It's better and better. I had a 98 earlier, and now I have 100. 100.
You're struck blind by it.
There is a reason that I use regular dice instead of a dice roller, and this is it.
It's not true. Da-da-da-da.
Anybody have any successes in archaeology or intelligence?
I had a regular intelligence.
Okay. Let me try intelligence.
Oh, I have extreme success in intelligence.
Hard success.
Okay. So, Kitty and Montgomery, you remember with those intelligence roles that. At one point, Rayburn Price had described the traditional figure of representation of Naboo. This looks like it's Naboo. It's not a king. It's more of it's Naboo rising up from a person.
Naboo is the god of
writing.
Yeah. Writing.
Okay.
Okay.
That's quite an interesting statue, and certainly quite valuable. I can see why people might be willing to kill for it. Oh, you said it's about 8 inches tall?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a full ingot of gold.
Different take as well of the tradition. Am I right?
Quite heavy.
Does it look like it's been pried off of something? It seems like there's something sprouting out of his back.
No, as you look at that, you realize like that's the skin, the back of the humanoid sort of being torn up. It's not as if he's sort of rising up so much as
bursting forth.
Bursting out of, yes.
Cool.
That actually brings up.
But as you but as you look at it, there are no marks on it, but the base does have some sort of runes and sigils written on the base of it.
And is it heavy enough that it's likely solid?
Yeah, you pick it up and it seems solid. It seems yes,
it must be quite heavy.
Yes, it's not a 8 inches with that much gold. It's you could probably do it with one hand, but you're sort of looking. It's hard.
Yeah.
Thinking about it being ripped off there, could whenever you're done, could I examine it, Dame?
Of course. Something in my throat there. Yes.
I'm going to.
There's nothing higher than Steve. What are you going to 100, Steve? What are you going to roll?
Right. Can I spin it around and just see if it's been like damaged or attached, like you said, to something, or if there's and see if I can make anything on the things below.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want me to pass on this because of the 100, I totally will, and just say it's genuine and set it back down.
No, you can roll again. I don't care.
Okay. Then I'll try the archival preservation then to see if it's been damaged or what its life may have been like. And that'll pass. And if the symbols are ancient Egyptian, I can make sense of those. But I get the feeling they're not. You tell me.
They're not ancient Egyptians. They don't look like anything that you've seen before.
Sure.
I ask, as they are turning the piece around, have those sigils been translated by anyone, sir?
Not to my knowledge. Sorry, but going back to your archival role, you had a success on that?
I did, yes.
Yeah, so no, this looks remarkably well preserved. It looks like it was its own statue. I appreciate that the drawing and the notes makes it look like it was attached, to the front of a car or something. But to the Mythos Mobile.
If it belonged in a museum, I know what I would do with this thing. That's awesome.
But it looks remarkably well preserved. This is your specialty, so I'll even give you, someone's clearly taken a cloth to sort of remove dust or whatever, but it does not look like it's been affected by sort of the rest of time. Wherever it was not exposed to rain and changes in humidity and such as that. But.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of the type of thing. And we would know that, like, obviously inside the Egyptian tombs and stuff and under the pyramids or whatever, everything there at least was very well preserved.
Exactly. Right? So it's exactly like that. That wherever this has been, and you're sure just sort of looking at it, it's not new. Wherever it's been, and it was at the British Museum being cataloged. It was in a similar environment to the pyramids.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm not like, bending it over. No, don't look at me. I'm I'll be clear and open. It's like, no, you see, there's no break on the bottom, and
You know, curiously well preserved, must have come from a tomb, possibly. Oh, these are not ancient Egyptians, that's for sure. Whatever, kind of passing on the information as I mumble around like that.
Cool. Anybody else?
Are they Arabic?
They're not Arabic.
Well, we must speak to Thompson. If he was on this dig, he might be in great danger.
Yeah. Maybe so, Upstate's in great danger if it's the statue.
We're all in great danger.
Kitty.
Can I make a copy of the sigils at the bottom?
A piece of paper. I mean, yes, if you want to pull a piece of paper and sort of start writing it down. I mean, it's clear at some point. Neve and Rayburn Price start to get a little anxious. Like they clearly want to leave. They want to sort of answer your questions. But if you're going to start writing things down and that's the focus, that they're going to make their adieus.
They're going to leave the statue with us.
That is what they would like to do. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, how are we going to contact you?
They don't need
you
to do it right now.
Very good question. Very good question. Here. Here is a mailbox address, and you recognize it's a mail, and he gives you a mailbox address up in Cumbria, which is in North England. It says I will check this regularly. If anything comes up, and when I can make my way back down here again, when I know that Neve is safe, I will check in with you then, but if you wish to send a telegram to this mailbox, I will respond back here to the club.
Do they seem to be in a relationship?
That's what I was wondering.
Excellent. Why don't we roll psychology?
I don't know if I had only put points in psychology.
I'll start off with a few points here just to make that a success.
So she's clearly distraught and, you know, upset and is concerned that she's being followed and wants to sort of get away from the situation. And he clearly is besotted with her.
Yeah.
He is.
So they are not in a relationship, but.
They're not in a relationship, much to his chagrin.
Yep. Perfect.
You get the sense that he has not been the sort of guy that women flock to, and here's a woman in need, and he is, by God, he's going to do what he can to protect her.
Chivalrous.
Yeah, I could say that.
Patsy.
Yes. Well, so I've given you the address here. I will check it regularly. I would ask, I mean, that you, if that you not let others know where we've gone. If someone is looking for Neve, I don't want them to be able to find us. And I would include that with the members of the club, too. We're a fine group, but sometimes a little gossipy.
And I'm sorry, you don't want us to return this to the museum. You just want us to...
You can return it to the museum if you want to.
Oh, okay.
Keep it if you want to.
I mean, it belongs in the museum, right? That's where it was temporarily removed from.
Taken from the museum. My concern
by the museum worker.
Yes. Yeah. It was definitely there at the museum. My only concern is if this was why Archie was killed, you're simply returning it so it can be stolen. But
someone else than us. But yes, I agree.
Yes, you do with it what you wish. We simply don't want to have it on our person.
So you're saying that this statue that's probably cursed.
That's not
your friend was murdered to obtain it, and now you want us to take it. So,
can't say.
Thank
I
you very much
it.
For that.
I can't say I believe in curses myself. I think that
yes, but I believe in murder.
Yes,
well,
of course.
That's different than being cursed, isn't it? In any case, if this is the case, then Lord Brightman, member of the club that you've all signed on to, was killed by these people. I would hope that out of a spirit of supporting the club, you would also consider this. But you have your own motivations, of course. I can't do anything other than ask for your help, and I hope that you will see fit to find out what is happening. But if not, I would totally understand.
Well, I am certainly quite curious. It's an extraordinary tale.
We certainly have a duty to Mr. Thompson to warn him.
Yes.
Yeah, where is he these days?
He certainly knows about the curse.
He's somewhere around the museum, I'm sure.
There.
Okay.
He must have been there when it was Brightman first acquired it, so to speak.
Right. And could tell us the ins and outs of the dig and the goings on and nothing else. That's a good place to start.
Yes. Very good.
There's nothing else.
Quite an exciting evening.
I will we'll take our leave of you.
Best of luck.
Yes, Mr. Price.
Mr. Price, I'm not sure you will well, never mind. Best of luck.
Maud, as Neve is leaving, she will hand you a package. The address is addressed to Bingo and Honoria Pinker at 5 Well Road, NW3. I'll put it in the notes later. And she says, could I ask upon you to mail this to my friends? I'm sure they're frantic worrying about me, and I wanted to let them know what had happened.
Of course. Take the package.
Disappearing like that is really quite enticing sometimes.
For like a week or so. Take that note. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And with that, they will depart.
Okay.
So, even if we don't believe in curses, we're probably going to be murdered to someone to steal this thing.
Well, only if they know we have it.
Indeed.
I didn't know you were such a downer. It seemed like earlier you were really quite optimistic and cheerful, but I guess perhaps it's been a difficult evening for you.
I hold this package. Is it does it seem like a letter, or does it seem like something larger than just like a letter packet?
You can sort of poke around. It feels like there's a letter there, sort of the packet that's regular brown wrapping paper. And then there's something that feels like a book in it.
I've raised my eyebrow.
The package that was never delivered.
Well, not saying it won't be delivered, but...
There are certainly ways to open these things.
I was just thinking a kettle of tea sounds quite proper at this point.
I agree that some tea would really be proper. I'm sure Cook Sykes would be happy to bring some up for us.
Oh, and we never get to use this room.
No.
We should keep it while we can.
Definitely. What fun. Yes, let's order some tea.
Mr. Nichols, Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Schneidler, are you doing anything?
Not particularly.
Just wanted to check in. Got a large cast to carry.
We have been left here by ourselves, right? They left the room.
Yes.
So I will casually go through books and see if there's anything that, you know, books and desk, and see if something catches my eye.
Oh, sure. Give me a library use.
It is a success because it's very high skill.
Sure. So these mostly seem to be the sort of, you know, when you go to like an Airbnb and people have books on a bookshelf for guests to read, they seem to be those sort of books, like, you know,
okay,
Adventures of Sherlock Holmes type thing, you know.
Yeah, I feel
my journey to so and so, some poetry by what by some famous poet type thing, more decorative than useful.
Okay. What about the desk? Like notes he left behind or something else that he hasn't shared with us?
Nope, there's no desk in here. It's really chairs and a table, a small,
all right,
small thing for tea over in the side.
All right. So what now? What do we do with this?
They will probably send us out soon, but it seems like it would be nice to, I don't know if we want to try to keep this in the club. But perhaps one of you gentlemen might arrange to spend the evening here and hold on to it so that we're not traipsing it about town.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. And actually, I would like to spend some time trying to translate those signals in front of the statue.
Yes, so it is certainly not a problem. Mr. Montgomery, if you want to appear to drink a lot or just ask to stay overnight, it's you get the sense it's somewhat unusual for a new member to sort of jump in there, but the Sykes will arrange for you to have a room. They're, you know, got a, you know, a bed, a writing desk, a wardrobe, towels, the community.
Yeah, you know, and I will try to find some books at the library that will help me try to translate this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we, I was thinking of looking, I don't know if our library, if this, the club's library would have anything on Naboo or if that's a, you know, public library type of deal tomorrow. And also I assume if we had dinner and a feast and the place closes at 11, we must be getting on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely sort of people starting to head home. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Kitty would probably head home and say, well, it's been quite an evening. I think I will retire and maybe we can figure out what to do with this.
Yes, well, let's meet back here for lunch tomorrow and then we can go over to the museum, perhaps. I may go to the library in the morning.
I was going to have that tea, maybe.
Yes. Let's do that. We shouldn't forget the tea. Sykes, what has happened to you?
You can certainly find, you know, somebody who will get you tea. It doesn't necessarily have to be Sykes, but certainly there, you know, there was a wait staff waiting outside when you got to the top of the stairs. They certainly would never open the door while you were having a meeting, but if you open it up and ask for hot tea, he will bustle off to the kitchen to get you
Bring a pot, my good man.
Yes, right away.
And when he returns, I'm just like, Yes, if not everybody wants to see, then
Well, I certainly would assuage my curiosity more than my manners, I'm afraid.
Yes, let's steam this open.
All right. You are able to easily steam it open, and it is a journal on top of a letter. Or there's a letter that's on top of a journal.
Well, let's read.
Yes, let's, shall we? let's not read. So I'll read the letter. My dear friends, by the time you read this letter, I shall be away from London, taken under the wing of Theodore, to goodness knows where. All I know is it must be safer than the city, safer both for me and for those who I care about so dearly. I cannot stay a moment longer. Too many people close to me have died, and I daren't put you in more danger. Trust that I am safe, and that by my absence, you are safe too. Along with this note, I am enclosing the diary that I've been keeping since setting sail for these fair shores, that I hoped would chronicle my every adventure. How little had I realized then quite what an adventure it would turn out to be. Perhaps within its pages you'll find some measure of understanding as to what horrors have befallen me since I found that strange statue, and perhaps you'll understand why I can no longer be around you all. I hope that when this is over, I shall see you all again, but until then, do not be sad, knowing that I am well, and do not try to find me. Instead, act on the information contained within my diary and find out who has committed this foul murder for Archie's sake. With fondest wishes, Neve.
So that's super confusing. She's had this statue for like 3 days.
Yes.
And she's kept, and this journal then is simply the past 3 days, is what we're led to believe from the letter.
That's what you're led to believe from the letter.
Okay.
Out of game, the journal is much longer than that.
Right, yeah.
It describes what happened in Scotland. Yes, in game, out of game, all the games.
Yeah,
and in less than a minute, her journal will appear in the Google folder for you.
Wow.
And you can read it as you will. It's pages of loveliness. It is 62 pages, so perhaps we will not read it out loud.
Wow.
No, let's read it verbatim into the record for all the listeners.
Yeah.
It'll be a separate episode.
Sorry. Voice actor.
This is from the days when people had real handouts. Real handouts.
Wow. Yeah, that's a between session kind of handout.
Yep.
All right. Well, well, I guess if you don't mind, since she gave it to me, I'll read it through and then summarize it tomorrow or so.
Yes, yes, that sounds great.
Really should see Mr. Thompson.
Well, it seems like Mr. Thompson must, as I say, must know. I mean, he was on the dig, and presumably he heard firsthand from Brightman, and also knows that Brightman was killed, and
so either
we should talk to him. We can get information from him. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Or he may actually have been the perpetrator.
Think he wants the statue? You don't think he
could?
Huh. Interesting. I'll think about that for a bit. Well, as I say, tomorrow I will try to learn about. Tomorrow morning I'll try to learn about this Naboo, and then we can go to the museum and perhaps go see Mr. Thompson if he'll see us.
Excellent. Anybody want to do anything else tonight?
Not here. You're not me.
I think with that, then, I think this is probably... No, go ahead.
I was the one who was going to stay behind and try to translate the decisions.
Yeah, no, that seems fine.
Okay.
Go ahead and give me, what are you going to use for that? Are you looking in the library?
Library for books first.
Yep. All right. Go ahead and give me a library use.
Hard success.
Okay. And then what else are you using?
Let's see. I think I will use occult as well.
Great. Give me a roll on that.
Success, but normal.
Okay. So what you realize is that these look like they don't look like language as you know it. It doesn't look Babylonian. It doesn't look like, you know, any of the languages. I mean, you sort of have been around enough, I'm going to say, that you have some idea of things. It doesn't look like Sumerian. It doesn't look like Akkadian. And in fact, it's not even in the cuneiform script, which is the script that was used at that time period.
Uh-huh.
It appears to be more runes. It reminds you more of, you know, with that role, I'll just say, it reminds you more of sort of Norse times, where they would have runes to represent, like, here's a figure that kind of looks like it's, you know, and it represents a giant. It feels like that kind of thing that you'd need to know. Like, it's not a language to learn. It's more of a rune thing. And even with your excellent library use role, there's no books in here that seem to have that.
Need help with this. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're sleeping here overnight. Where are you?
Yeah, I guess that's going to take me some time, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, the place is, you know, people are definitely winding down, and by 11 o'clock, you know, anybody who's not staying overnight has pretty much got the Sykes stink eye on them. But you can work until, you know, however late you want.
2 a.m. or so. Okay. Go to sleep.
Great. And where are you storing the statue?
Under my, like, I will pack it, right? Even if it is cold, you know, it's very old. So I will pack it to protect it, let's say, and put it right next to me on my bed. Okay. I will lock the door of whatever room I was given. Put a chair, given that people have been murdered, put a chair against the knob, and go rest.
Great. It takes a while to get to sleep. It's been a pretty exciting day, or at least evening. You've done a bunch of work. You've had there's a lot of new information for your brain to take in, and so it takes a while to get to sleep. And then, as you're asleep, you have this really powerful dream. It feels like, you know, something. You feel like you're being chased. You feel like you're out in, you know, in a desert area, and you're just being chased, and you don't know what's chasing you, but it's just you're running and running, and you're surprised you're able to sort of keep running, but whatever it is behind you is equally tireless. And when you wake up, could you give me a sanity roll? Cute.
98.
Excellent. You lose a point of sanity. This has all been very disturbing.
Okay.
And on the first loss of sanity, I think we'll call this a session.